Author's note. As an avid fan of comic book movies and gripping sagas, I love a good origin story. This one is less epic in scope, but still worth a mention. More than a decade ago, the inimitable attorney Teresa Wynn Roseborough and I had lunch, and the conversation that ensued sparked While Justice Sleeps. I'd met her during my tenure as a tax attorney at Sutherland, Asbill & Brennan, where Teresa served as my Sherpa through the travails of private practice. I'd left there to become deputy city attorney for the city of Atlanta. By the time we sat down to eat, I was well into my third stint, this time as a reluctant entrepreneur, supporting my new work as a Georgia State representative. In 2008, my mixed-use resume was well under construction. Indeed, Teresa and the partners at Sutherland had hired me just before the publication of my first romantic suspense novel and my separate tax treatise on UBIT, and they'd been tolerant of my side career as a novelist. Teresa, with practicality and sagacity, gave me advice and support as I knitted together the disparate parts of my own story. Near the end of our meal, we were chatting about my first Georgia-based romance novel that would be coming out in the summer. I remember vividly how our conversation then turned to one of her specialties, the U.S. Constitution. Here's the thing to know about Teresa Wynn Roseborough. She had been the Deputy Assistant U.S. Attorney General and one of the most successful attorneys in Bush v. Gore, before the Supreme Court cut the matter and destiny short. When she talked about the founding documents, I listened. That day, she pondered a glaring yet invisible hole in Article 3, the one that governs federal judges, including the highest court in the land. The Constitution's Article 2 made provisions for the removal of an incapacitated president, and Article 1 imbued voters with the ability to not re-elect members of Congress unable to perform their duties. But Article 3 made no such allowances for a Supreme Court justice waylaid by illness or calamity. I'd also recently read an article about comatose patients who lingered for years, inert to the world. And so our conversation gripped me and would not let go. What if? Swirled in my head for the next few hours as I went back to work. That evening, I wrote the first scene for While Justice Sleeps, Howard Wynn pondering his legacy and his sanity. Over the next few years, I stole time from books I'd actually been paid to write, my startup companies Nourish and Now Account, and my role as the Georgia House Minority Leader, all to add pages to the story taking shape. By 2011, I had completed the novel and eagerly shared it with the publishing world. But there were no takers. Dejected, I put it aside and focused on registering voters, winning elections, and helping out small businesses. But in 2015, I decided to try again. With the help of my siblings and friends, I pared down some of my favorite scenes, punched up the prose, and still failed to make the sale. I didn't understand the disinterest. The book, I thought, had everything I wanted to read. A street-smart, book-wise heroine, dastardly politicians, and an ailing curmudgeon with too much power. But the second round of rejections signaled that my evil world leader seemed too absurdist, and tales of the Supreme Court had become passé. No president, I was told, would become involved in international intrigue, and how often would a Supreme Court justice's decision swing the fate of a nation? Plus, the book awkwardly straddled legal and political thriller, not firmly entrenched in either. I didn't have a great rebuttal, so I gave my novel a final fond read, pressed save, and turned to other missions. Over the next few years, I published nonfiction works, Lead from the Outside and Our Time is Now, helped to grow our company, Now Account, and tried my hand at a run for governor and a cheerleader for democracy. Then, in 2019, during a conversation about my books that had made it from thought to publication, I got a question about other writing projects. I launched into my standard riff. I had a partially completed children's book and a teenage superhero novel under development. No, Selena Montgomery had not made a reappearance. Yes, I was likely to write more nonfiction, but not a memoir. Then I offhandedly mentioned my nearly forgotten legal/political thriller. When pressed, I gave the synopsis of the book,